So coming back perhaps to first principles is that the divine human is that which makes the Lord visible. So the Lord's human is truth, and the divine of the Lord is good or love and wisdom. So the terms are interchangeable. They're speaking about the same thing, but as with all language, it gives us different, from our perspective, gives us different points of focus, finding our way in. So the word is the Lord, and you can take that as divine truth is divine good in a form that can be seen. So these terms actually hold the whole of the doctrine, really, the doctrine of the Lord. So the confusion is suspecting there's a difference, but language being used in a way where it suggests there is no difference. And so how do you reconcile that? But the process really is that when we first come to the text, we read it at the level of our state, and that, the text going in, I'm talking about the letter here, the actual reading, if you like, that goes into the mind and it becomes associated with our conceptualization of things. We understand it according to our own state. That's the principle. And we bring a lot of person, place, time, and space to that understanding. Or it could be literalism, or it could be our historical faith. All of these things all sort of get added on in ways, we slot things in ways that kind of work for us, but ultimately are going to have to be sorted out. A big one, say, in terms of this text is coming from the belief that the good and truth we have has arisen from ourself, and that flows out of the idea that we have life in ourself. So that becomes, or that is a leading structure around which whatever comes in is organized in terms of what we read or how what we experience. If we hold that feeling that we have life in ourselves is in us, then that will structure the mind in a particular way around the loves of self and love of the world, and ultimately has to be given up. And the word is the means by which that can be seen and put off. So in the glorification process it was described of the Lord in us, the Lord as the word in us, those ideas that we've all attached to our conceptualization of the Lord have to be put off where they are not truly reflective of him. And that only can happen if you apply the word to life, if you use truth for the function for which it is given, which is the process by which it is made good. So truths are given in order that we might shun evils as sins against the Lord. And as soon as we start to use truths for that purpose, they are being transformed into good. And then what comes out of that will be our truth. And then that will have to be put off. And then you go through this progression of love becoming more and more clear because the truths are more translucent and are able to reflect it to us in a way which is much clearer than when we started off in our kind of rigid sense of what truth is. But that putting off of person, place, time, and space, so far as our ideas go, or putting off how we conceptualize things from a historical faith, because a historical faith, generally speaking, is one which we have accepted on authority, not out of experience. And it serves as a crust, but it's a crust. It's not the thing in itself by any stretch. And these are the new truths that are represented by Benjamin. As you practice, you come into a new understanding of things. You begin to see things more in line with process, regenerative process, and the structures that support that. And so truth now is becoming something that is showing us how our minds are structured and what it is we need to do in order to have the Lord more fully present, or what is of the Lord, what is good, more fully present in our life. And those new truths are truths that are being put on as those former truths are being put off. And those truths that are being put on that relate to inner experience. This is Benjamin. This is Benjamin under Israel. It's still not under Joseph yet. It's under Israel. These are the new truths. And there is an element of our own ownership in those still, because truth is still leading at this point. And our sense of self is very much more tied to truth than it is to good, because good is quite obscure for us, mercifully so. So we don't attribute it so much to ourselves. But truths are much more in the frame for us during this process. Now, the new understanding that's coming is the human from the Father. And the truths that are being put off is the human from the mother, because they have person, place, space, and time woven through them. That is taken from the world and has been constructed out of a love of self and a love of the world being dominant. So in Doctrine of the Lord number 35, there are three humans that are mentioned. There's the human from the mother, the human from the father, and the divine human. This is the conceptual map that we're given. The human from the mother has to be put off. The human from the father, those new truths, are put on. And it's those truths that have to be glorified and become the divine human. It's just talking about how the word operates within the human mind here. So there's nothing changing in the Lord. That's the first thing. This is all changes taking place in our perception of how things are. So the human from the mother gets put off. Then we have this human from the father that's getting built up. And we are still in a state of theft in relation to that. That's what this story is about. So Benjamin has to be moved away from Israel and established under Joseph. So in a more interior sense, Joseph is the divine human. And the whole purpose of the divine human is the salvation of the human race. That's what it exists for. In order to save the human race, or what is genuinely human, right? That's another way of thinking about that, is that what is more interior has to become connected with what is more exterior, or the level where our awareness sits. Because if it doesn't make that connection, well, we have no way of connecting. So what's going on in the story at this point is what you have is this exposure of our ownership of what is the Lord's. And that has to be given up. And this is what the process is here. It's being given up. And the process of giving that up puts Benjamin under Joseph. And under Joseph, he is described as interior truth that's linked to interior good, Joseph being the good, Benjamin being that truth. So it is a different representation now. So let's go back to the idea of the ideas of the word that we have in our mind. It's what enables the letter of the word to be seen in a way which supports what is interior. So apart from person, place, time, and space. So what it reveals, what, you know, when we come to the letter, what it starts to reveal in terms of what we start to perceive are our states. We start to read in terms of states of mind, not in terms of historical events. And that's the process whereby there's a connection being drawn between what's represented by Joseph, and if we just think of that as, you know, the love for the salvation of the human race, then the things that are at the level of our awareness have to be organized in a way which can support that love being present for us. Because as we give up any sense of ownership over things, we move from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to eating of the tree of life. Because to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is to be in the belief that the feeling that I have life in myself arises from myself. And it's not enough to just verbalize that, well, no, that's not the case. It's actually, you know, the Lord is the only life. It's about how we live our lives, that's the testimony. You know, how we react in situations, how all of that tells us whether we are living from that feeling. And there are a couple of things that I just point out that has become quite sort of figural for me. Essentially, you know that that form of life is active because you're either possessive, being possessive, so you can link controlling and all those different things, or defensive. So the proprium is either in a mode of being in possession of something, trying to possess something or owning something, or it's defending itself because it has to do that in order to preserve the falsity that it is something in itself, that it has some kind of substantial existence apart from the Lord, because the proprium doesn't want to subject itself to a higher authority. It wants to be the higher authority. And that's, again, you know, if you go back to the trees in the garden, you know, the temptation is you shall be as gods. So the divine human, when the word is seen to be the Lord, the word itself is the divine human, the logos. And there's no difference. Like, you know, I know we have a book in front of us that we read. That's just a sensory manifestation that enables us to connect with what is more interior. But what is more interior is one and the same as that. There's no difference. There's no difference. You know, the fullness of the Lord is contained within the word, which is sacred scripture. It's divine truth. So sacred scripture and the heavenly doctrine constitute the logos in terms of a text-based manifestation of the logos.